see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
He was looking to her to give him a sign to show him that he could be safe going into territory that felt uncomfortable for him. And she just wanted to say, you need to be all about me 100%. I'm Beyonce.
Yeah. But like even Beyonce compromises. We all yes, know about Lemonade. Yes.
But more importantly, we get to finally see shirtless Peter.
Yeah. The morning afters have been the best.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Friends, Romans, countrymen, today we are shattered.
In just one very long day, we lost Chris Pratt and Anna Faris.
And then we not only lost Rachel and Peter, we had to like watch the whole horrible thing happen in what felt like real time.
If you're anything like us, this experience took a lot out of you. It was hard to even quite enjoy the happy ending. And I tweeted this earlier. I have so many mixed emotions right now.
Yeah, but we have to remember there was technically a happy ending, at least for Rachel and Jerome, who we now know as Brian. And they finally got to have their engagement on TV and share it with the world, and they looked like they just couldn't be happier.
And despite the fact that you all know we have solidly been Team Peter this whole time, we love Rachel and we really are happy for her and Brian. So here to discuss how really genuinely so happy we are today, we have writer, activist, and publisher and executive director of the Feminist Press, Jamia Wilson, here with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. It's going to be like an intense first episode for you to be part of this.
I know, you're really going to dive in.
Yeah. I feel honored.
Today I have 12 pages of notes. It just keeps getting worse, you guys. Emma just got a text. Don't worry about it.
I was inundating her with texts yesterday as we were contemplating who was going to end up as the final rose.
Oh, yeah. And did you guys get it right?
Yes.
Yeah, we knew. We didn't want to know. I think all of us knew, but we wanted to be wrong. And I think that's I saw some people being so shocked and devastated on Twitter, and I think my reaction was a little more muted because I went into the episode being like, Eric's going to go first, then it's going to be Peter and it's going to be sad, and she's going to end up with Brian. Like, that just felt like we knew.
The amount of rationalizing that I had in my mentions was like, I felt so bad for these, you know, like, people wanted so desperately for it to be Peter. We saw the whole breakup and he was on stage
people
with
were
her
like, but like
crying.
He's gonna come back
right
and
people
propose.
Were like, well, she's not wearing a ring, so he is definitely gonna propose right now, and like, see, she was smiling, so that means she knows. And I was like, guys, she has been saying since May that she's engaged. Like, he's not gonna propose now because then she wouldn't have been engaged this whole time. Like, this just, I know how badly you want it to be Peter, but that's just
not making Peter. Stop trying to make Peter happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying that to myself.
Yeah. He's going to happen for someone.
I'm sure for many someone.
Yeah. We'll see. So first, we have a little catch up over how she stands with all the guys. And then we find out that there's going to be a format switch up. Chris Harrison is hosting the live finale. There's no, like, after the final rose. Instead, Rachel's going to be on stage with him throughout the whole thing, doing, like, interstitial interviews about what's happening, and which makes the actual finale 3 hours long.
Maybe they realized that people drop off after the final rose, and they wanted to force everyone to watch all the way through the 3 hours.
That's and rude. A promo Bachelor in Paradise.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did not love this format. I was saying this to you, Claire, earlier, but I felt like maybe the reason they were doing it was to try to have the Peter breakup be kind of one section and then fully move on, but it didn't work.
Yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts about that, Jamia?
It was really stressful for me to watch it in this format.
Yes, yes,
because
it's a perfect
I was thinking
word.
I'm used to, I mean, we've been watching this show for so long, so we're conditioned like mice to be able to have this certain experience. And it's going to be like any symphonic event that there's going to be the crescendo and you're going to think that things aren't going to go the way you want them to. And then it's going to fall, but then you're going to have a rising end and everything will be happy. And I just felt like there was so much focus on making it almost like a live stream sort of experience. And it seemed like they were trying to make it feel participatory in some way, but it was still contrived. So I definitely did not like this format and hope that they don't do it ever again.
Yeah. I feel like it really emphasized how disconnected their present is from when we see the show. Like, it's supposed to make it feel like more immediate reactions. And instead, you know, Rachel's up there like, right, yeah, like, I remember that. It was terrible.
And she's visibly uncomfortable the whole time. Yeah. Like, did we need that? We could have gotten a few awkward, you know, flashback stage to her face, and that would have been fine. I would have preferred to see this whole, like, really emotional finale be allowed to play out in succession. Yeah.
And I think we'll definitely get to this, but there was something about the fact that she didn't have any time to gather her thoughts and center herself after these really emotional moments before she had to confront the guy involved with them. That must have been really hard. And she's a very composed person, but it clearly really rattled her.
And I wonder if they were trying to do that.
Yeah, which like sucks.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, like, why do you keep doing these first time ever things to me? And like, seriously, why? It's like they're like, the theme is first time. Like, she's the first Black woman. And also everything else is going to be different, but not in like a meaningful way, just in like a gimmicky way.
And that really bothered me as a Black woman. I kept thinking like, this is just like on the L Word, how all the bad things had to always happen to Bette. You know, I noticed these things because these things happen. And, you know, she had been kind of written into the show as a white woman. And then they talked about how she wanted her biracial identity to be a part of it. And so I was thinking about this with Rachel and that, oh, all the firsts are happening and that's great. We can keep up with the theme. And then I'm thinking, but we're also creating a sort of trauma porn with this Black woman's experience and pain. And that's really problematic. Not to say that they haven't done objectionable things, objectionable things to other people and other bachelorettes. But I had thought a lot about that and that, you know, some of the things that made me really uncomfortable because I could identify with them were them kind of dealing with how she was feeling pressures around being the first bachelorette, but focusing on it in really annoying ways, Black bachelorette and focusing on it in annoying ways. And so that was something, too, that I thought, you know, just like, I hope you're paying for her therapy and helping to support her because this is rough and, you know, she's having to answer to a lot of different publics for her decisions.
Yeah.
And we know that she loves therapy. So, you know, they can give her a trip to Rioja, but they should really
throw
give
in
her
a therapist.
Some of that sweet,
and,
sweet
and you know, girl deserves to get her wedding paid for
by
this franchise.
Also, we did, speaking of weddings, little update. Juan Pablo reached out to the show and asked them to announce.
That was some, like, subtle dig, like, he asked us to spread the word.
That he's married is what it is.
Hilarious.
No one can believe it. I feel like he and Nikki were just on, like, Celebrity Couples.
It was the most tepid applause from the live audience.
Although we saw some more tepid applause. I was like, is this just a bad audience or are they unhappy with everything that's happening tonight?
Both.
So we finally get to the rest of her date with Peter. We left in the middle of this conversation about how he doesn't – it's the fantasy suite – he's not sure that he can propose by the end of the show, which is rapidly approaching. And he says to her, you know, what are you thinking? And she says, honestly, that I'm trying not to cry. And this is when we learn in the moment that what's going on with Peter really reminds her of this long-term 5-year relationship that she had that she thought was going to go toward marriage, and it never really lifted off. And she's worried that she'll say, okay, let's just date after the show, and it will be that same situation, like always a reason not to take that step now. And, you know, she also says that hearing that he doesn't want to propose yet made her realize just, like, how deeply she feels for him. And he's like, you know, I really care about you. I was like, Peter.
He's never quite in it enough, at least when you see it, especially side by side with the Brian relationship. It's very clear that and this isn't, you know, a dig at him or a plus for Brian. It's just the reality, like, one of these guys was all in for her the entire time, and the other one was, to his credit, very honestly expressing that he wasn't quite there yet. And that's totally fair. But you can see where they sort of hit this really sad roadblock, and like, could there, like, there was really no way to properly resolve it. If she's saying, I want this thing, and he's saying, well, I can't give it to you. And that was really the crux of it at the end. And it was super sad. Yeah. Even at this point, you know, he's saying, like, there's something here that is unlike anything I've ever experienced. And that's undeniable. And that's why I'm still here and I'm fighting for this. And it was so, like, it was very, I mean, obviously, yeah. I'm, like, in love with Peter. So.
Even then, I was sort of like, you're not putting this, like, maybe you feel like you're putting this in really deep terms. But for as Rachel, what I'm hearing is, I'm here because we're really similar, and I think there could be something, and that's the only reason I'm still here. And I'm like, that doesn't seem like enough. Like, I feel like you should have a lot of reasons to be here, and they should all be about how great I am.
That's also true.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he was genuinely into her, genuinely had feelings for her, but he wasn't sure, and I don't think that he could have really given her a guarantee. Yeah.
I think that, like, this is also a total bachelor move that he pulls, is when she gets really upset, he's like, that's a big part of what I need to see. And I was like, that's totally what Nick did too. Yes. And Rachel does it a little bit too. It's like, I need to see that you're upset at the idea of losing me. And that makes me know that there is something real here. And he's like, I see now that you're upset to lose
me.
And that makes me feel like this is a stronger relationship.
He was clearly looking for also for to provoke affirmation for himself from her. And I think they both were sort of going at each other, both needing affirmation, and neither one of them could kind of, like, he wanted her to affirm that he was definitely the one, and therefore, like, she would totally trust him to commit without the proposal. And she wanted him to be sure that she was the one and wanted him to show that commitment by saying, I will propose. So I think they just, like, sort of reached an impasse.
Yeah.
But I, you know, she smartly offers him the fantasy suite. It's the only time they have a chance to really have, like, those real conversations. So, oh, to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Gosh, the whole eyelashes thing threw me.
Oh, yeah.
That was happening to you. Because I was thinking, like, what did happen in that fantasy suite in addition to that fight? But I was thinking about how I did kind of have a frustration with Rachel, although I love her and I'm team Rachel. Because he did say or strongly imply that if she had said, you are the person who I'm most deeply connected with, then maybe I will go out of my comfort zone. So I did feel that, you know, in the rules of compromise and diplomacy, that she was unwilling to give. I mean, she is a prosecutor, quite good at her job. And, yes. But that was the one thing that I'd say was really sad for me to see, because it did seem like he was looking to her to give him a sign to show him that he could be safe going into territory that felt uncomfortable for him. And she just wanted to say, you need to be all about me 100%. I'm Beyonce.
Yeah.
Which
she
I get.
Is kind of. She, yeah. Fair enough.
But, like, even Beyonce compromises. We all know about Lemonade.
Yes. But more importantly, we get to finally see shirtless Peter.
Yeah. The morning afters milestone. Have been the best of any season. Shirtless Eric, shirtless Peter. I'll allow shirtless Brian because she likes it. And, like, Rachel, like, no makeup, just looking, like, angelic. And she makes eggs with them, and like
he has his. So we get a full view of his tattoos that had not been quite visible.
Yeah, I was very edgy.
I'll even allow these ugly tattoos. That's how much I love you, Peter.
That took the edge off a little bit for me. See those tattoos. I was like, all right, you know, good. You're taking down your smolder factor just a little in a good way.
I thought they were cute.
But you could tell that the next day, even, they hadn't really resolved anything.
Yeah. Yes. I think they had a really good night that felt really natural, but then they didn't fix that problem. And so next she goes to meet Brian at like sunrise in a vineyard.
And we're still on fucking overnight dates.
Yeah. And she's sort of in her head about Peter. So she ends up being kind of distant during the day date. They ride horses. She says she'll take the brown horse because it matches her. She always like gets those little comments in.
Yes.
And he's talking about how, like, the relationship feels like a fantasy and a dream and a fairy tale. And he thinks Rachel's in love with him and he just needs to have blind confidence and faith.
He also –
all the things Peter, like, won't do.
I did enjoy, though, seeing little cracks in Brian because he's so – no, he's just so – and we've discussed this, like – always with the platitudes, always with the pronouncements. And I actually liked him more when we got to see a moment where he was like, today was rough. It was a bit awkward. Yeah. I wasn't quite sure where I stood. I'm like, oh, you're a human being.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been waiting to kind of see Brian. Like, even when he had that rough time with her family, he was just like, you know what? I think I did as well as I could possibly do, and they are weird about the situation, but they thought I was great. And it's like, are you aware of yourself and, like, how people perceive you at all? And that was a moment where he was like, I could pick up on the fact that things were not what I wanted and what you wanted. And let's, like, actually fix that. And that's something you will need in a relationship. You can't just, like, assume everything is
fine. I'm amazing.
Yeah.
Which is why her sister, I think, was getting visibly frustrated with that. You know, she was kind of like, I am letting you know that I'm throwing you shade in a very intense way.
And he was like, cool, I'm glad we understand each other.
Exactly. We do not understand each other.
You will be my best man in the wedding.
Exactly.
I think that they did a hot air balloon ride, I think, this was.
Oh, yes.
Or is it later? There are too many dates on this episode.
Oh, no, that was later.
Oh, my
God. Sorry, that was later. Yeah, it's very confusing. So they have a conversation.
Also because they're, like, all in vineyards.
Yes.
Right. Every single date in Spain that they've done has somehow involved wine, which
is great, but it's hard to, like, tell them apart.
Yeah.
Okay.
She gives him the fantasy suite after they sort of talk about how her energy's been a little bit off.
Yeah. And he reads it. He's like, if you choose to forego your individual rooms tonight, yeah, I do. And then he says in the moment, he says, I've been working on taking Rachel's walls down, and now I just need to remove that last brick. And I was like, Peter, Brian, that's so graphic. That's like, it felt very graphic. I was like, I don't need to hear what you're taking
down. I
want
to just, like, erase all the scripts in his head.
Yeah.
I think
And he's a chiropractor, and so there was this whole thing I thought throughout where I'm like, if I were a woman who was going to his practice, I would no longer want to be his patient after watching this show and hearing those sorts of metaphors and seeing how,
I'd be like, this guy is not putting his hands on me.
Exactly.
Also, I'm like, I think that chiropractic medicine is, like, totally made up. But you know what?
No, I have to disagree.
Well, I haven't tried it.
There's, like, a lot of studies that show that it's basically bullshit, but it's fine. Some people like to go to them, like Emma.
Like when I literally couldn't move my neck, and then I could and was not in pain any longer.
That's true, but you have to be careful because sometimes you have a stroke afterwards.
Woo!
I love my chiropractor. Hey, Charlie.
If I ever went to one, my sister-in-law, who is a doctor, would like murder me. But you don't have to worry about that.
Dr. Abasolo is probably taking patients.
Yeah.
I know. If anyone wants to fly down to Miami.
We did see some evidence that he has a new line of income.
Oh. What's his hustle?
Selling some swag.
Yeah. He's already.
Some Rachel and Brian swag.
Oh, my goodness.
Already. Yeah.
Wow.
And cups that say Dr. Abs.
No. No.
It's like, you can't say that about yourself.
Especially when you were up against
Peter. It's so bad.
I mean.
Yeah, and he's like, totes that say, like, find your Jerome.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I'm sure Rachel is aware of this, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that would be funny if she was like, I had no idea.
He's like, just a little side hustle, hon. So my favorite part of the whole overnight date part was that when we go back to the studio and Rachel is like, I was in there asking about health insurance, asking about credit scores. I was like, yes.
Yes.
That is why I love you, Rachel. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that this episode is joyless, like, there are moments like this that remind me why this season was great.
And I think it's a good reminder for all of us who are, like, she's just taking Brian at face value and she's not, like, being, like, questioning things that might not be so great about him. She's like, no, listen, I got way in there. Like, I hit all the points. You're just not seeing it. And that's a good thing for us to remember. And... oh, God, they were, like, feeding each other strawberries in bed in the morning after.
And we get a voiceover of Brian being like, the chemistry is hotter than ever. It's just like, Brian, I want to like you so badly. And then you just say shit like this.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's like, you know, your friend keeps sending you texts about, like, the hot sex she had last night. And I'm like, I'm happy for you. Like, I don't actually want to know. Maybe just, like, no details it for me.
See, I'd be fine hearing it from Rachel because then it would feel like my friend. Like, it's like if your friend's date was sending you texts.
Yes,
saying,
exactly.
I had hot sex with your friend.
It's like, sorry, Brian, you are just our friend's date to us. Rose ceremony time.
Eric is still there.
Yes, remember Eric?
Eric
didn't get any screen time until this point.
Well.
And he decided to do it wearing a navy suit with sneakers. A white t-shirt and white sneakers. It wasn't that it didn't look good. I was just like, this is the final three rose ceremony. I feel like you need, like, a button down.
I mean, I definitely was like this. I mean, and, you know, it's documented that, you know, in some of those underground Hillary groups, I was also like this about other people who weren't taking positions seriously as it related to their fashion choices. I'm like, rise to the occasion then, and I will take you seriously.
Yes.
And you can imagine in terms of, like, you know, certain male candidates who are running the Democratic primary series where I'm like, you know, at least, like, comb it for this. But
yeah, please.
I was thinking that with this, too, when I saw Eric. I'm like,
Dress for the job you want.
Exactly. Yeah. And I always thought this about Eric when we did the hometown dates and just, like, my gal Rachel, you know, like, seeing many similarities. I'm not trying to project, but, you know, between, like, how I was raised, how she was raised, and I was just like, she likes him, but I see he's going to be into the friend zone at the end because I just see that there are, like, lifestyle things that are not going to work between the two of them. And that was one of them when I noticed. I'm like, she wants you to show up for primetime, like, her wearing, you know, sequin things, like, bedazzled on her dress to just show that she's queenly and that this rose ceremony is, like, her coronation. You got to show up and come correct. And I definitely saw that. I'm like, I know you want to look cool. And I know you want to have swag, which you've done.
Yeah.
But right now Peter's going to slay.
I mean, that's ultimately, I feel like she had certain guys like Dean and Eric who she liked a lot and had a lot of chemistry with, but they just they presented as not having grown up yet. That's sort of like, if your whole narrative is that you're a little too immature, maybe don't wear sneakers to the rose ceremony. You know, like, she needs to see that you're gonna not only act like a grown man, but, like, look like one. Like, she knows how to look, like you say. Like, she knows how to present herself.
I will say her final three were a good-looking bunch.
They were very attractive, But that's, Brian and Peter are always very snappily dressed. So I wish that Eric would have been a little.
I mean.
But in the realm of bachelorette crimes, pretty mild. So she starts, like, the rose ceremony by giving this little speech about how she needs to be true to herself and what she wants. And what she wants is not a boyfriend, but a proposal to move towards marriage.
At Peter.
Yeah,
throughout.
He looked kind of ill, not for the first or last time this episode.
He looked like he was going to throw up during this rose ceremony.
I started to think that maybe she was going to get rid of him then and there because it sounded like she was justifying the choice she was making. But it was really a warning that was like, this is your last chance.
Which was so, like, courtroom drama again that she's like evoking all of that. When I saw it, I'm like, oh, she's letting him know that three strikes, you're out.
Yeah.
That's totally what's happening right now.
Yeah, all the, like, yeah, the public, like, pageantry that she does is very, very, like, litigator.
And that's why she's so good at carrying the show.
Yes.
Because she knows how to, like, be succinct and present the facts and, like, do it in a way that is evokes a response.
Like the DeMario situation, yes.
Yes.
I rewinded and watched that a couple of times.
It really, like, takes me back to mock trial and when, like, you would just, like, really get someone on cross-examination and you're just like, everyone just saw me do that amazing thing and I won.
And, like, Rachel just feels that way all the time.
All the time. Yes. It must be awesome. So finally, she gives the first rose to Brian and the second rose to Peter. And in her voiceover, she's sort of saying, like, between Peter and Eric, do you go with the guy who says, I love you, but who I don't think is really ready for marriage, or with the guy who I think is ready, but he's not willing to, like, say the things and take the steps that I need?
I don't even think that was actually it. I think she just liked Peter significantly more than she liked Eric.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, it makes sense to present it that way. But, like, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Eric was never going to be the final two.
Well, when Eric said, this is a thing, too, when I thought, oh, I like how he puts silver linings on things. Because when they were sitting there and she said, I love you, but not in the way I love them. He took it as, well, she said, I love you. And I'm like, no, she's telling you she loves you like a brother, brother. Like, that is what had happened.
Right. See, this is why I love Eric and find him so endearing. So first, Peter accepts the rose and he looks like he's gonna throw up. I, like, have in my notes, like, Peter whispers and looks like he's gonna vomit when he accepts the rose. And then, yeah, she and Eric have this wonderfully kind of positive breakup. And
I will say, Eric, like, I love and he's great. He always, like, has a little, like, life insight to impart in monologue form. And I'm always like, that must be hard for Rachel sometimes to, like, she's like, he really gets me, but I also am like, I feel like there's not a ton of give and take in their conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, all right, like, I'm sorry. And he's like, listen, I just want to thank you for being open and you let me give what you got, allow me to get what I need by doing that. And God willing, I know you're going to get what you need and I'm always just going to love you. And that's the truth. And she's like, okay, bye. Like, you really said it all. Like, there's
nothing.
Good.
That makes it easier on her.
It certainly does.
And I think that, you know, the more we've gotten to know Eric, he is this kind of self-reflective person. And he lives his life because of the life experiences he's had in a way that's like, if this doesn't come to me, it wasn't meant for me. And it is a really kind of commendable, wonderful outlook to have. And I think the fact that he was able to see, like, hey, this experience helped me grow is pretty cool. And I also think, you know, the fact that neither of them were particularly, I mean, they were emotional, but they weren't, like, upset or angry at all, I think speaks to the fact that, like, neither of them really thought they were going to marry the other one.
It's interesting because, like, I think he was very aware of his competition being a little older, maybe a little more experienced in relationships, but he did seem very confident about their relationship. And he says later, like, that was
That's
the first
rose
ceremony where I didn't expect to go home. But he did get so much more out of it than I think early in the relationship. He was very anxious and feeling insecure. And at this point, he was like, no, I was valued in this relationship, and that matters. And he also, like, I really liked what he said in the limo. He said, I'll miss the entirety of her, and he's happy he got to experience life with her. And then he's like, I wonder who, like, the next person for me will be because she was the one. And I thought that sort of captured what is sometimes hard in our society to, like, wrap our minds around is, like, you can feel like someone is the one, but that doesn't mean they're actually the only one. It's a way of looking at the person that you're actually with and being like, I'm not looking outside you at all, but if this relationship ends, there will be another person like that for me. And liked that.
I liked that a lot too. I thought, honestly, I mean, and then we see back in the studio with Eric, like, I felt like Eric was the real winner of this episode.
Yes.
Like, he came off
the beard
so beautifully. Okay, that beard was working for him. And a little preview, Claire and I actually had Eric in studio a couple weeks ago.
The beard is, we saw the beard even cuter in person.
He is so damn cute, guys. Aww. He is so attractive. And
he, like,
lovely
hugged everyone
in
the office. Aww. He was like, I just want to touch the people. I want to hug them. And we were like, well, they want to hug you.
Yeah,
so.
Yes. Like, his manager was like, Eric really loves talking to people. If anyone wants to come, like, see, like, he would love that. Eric was so
the sweetest.
So sweet. So we're going to have the interview coming later that
obviously
we recorded.
He couldn't
with
talk
him.
At that point about yeah. what happened. But I think we all kind of suspected.
Yeah.
So he was very well behaved with the spoilers.
Came off the way that he actually appeared, like, in these last few episodes yeah. on TV in person, which was heartening.
Yeah.
And in his conversation with Rachel, like, it was just really, really lovely. And I think the narrative came off well, that he did grow from this experience. And to me, his one-on-one time with Rachel set him up to be the bachelor, actually.
Yeah.
Mm. Which I had not quite.
We saw later that Rachel talked to Peter right after reviewing some really painful stuff. Whereas with Eric, she talks to him right after he was like, she's like the most beautiful creature yes. and she's perfect and I would have married her. And so she was feeling clearly
positive.
Very open and positive toward him. And he just comes out and is like, I hope you're happy. Like, I was all in, but, like, we got all move forward, and I'm glad that you, like, your heart's good. And it was just a really good vibe, and it definitely gave that impression that he had grown to the point where he could go through this process as the bachelor.
Yes. So that would be fun.
It would be fun. I would like that. And he also asked if it was frustrating for Eric to go home when Peter stayed, because Brian and Peter knew that Eric – wow. Brian and Eric knew that Peter was not feeling ready to propose. They talked about that. And he was basically like, yeah, I felt, like, good for the first time at a rose ceremony because of that in part, and didn't go the way I expected.
And we often hear, like, Caitlin Bristow, who was also in the third position, she talks a lot about how, because you're separated at this point, that, like, if you have a good overnight date, then you go into that rose ceremony feelings. And she was like, that was for her also the only rose ceremony that she went in feeling like totally confident that she was going to get a rose.
Yeah.
And then she got kicked off just because you don't quite see the intimacy that is developing, that's sort of intangible with the other people.
Yeah. I think it's also hard to remember this, but often the person that she's having, that the lead is having the most tension with, is someone that they've kept that far despite that tension, and that means that they're invested in that person.
Yes.
So they knew she was having this tension with Peter, but what that really meant was
she cared.
She cared enough to give him another chance. Okay, so time for the final two dates. We have so many dates this episode. And the first one is her last date with
And I think
Brian.
This is the air balloon,
hot air balloon. Oh, yeah. This is when they meet at sunrise and they get in a hot air balloon. And he's like, it's so beautiful up here, but all I'm thinking about is what's right in front of me. The beautiful. I'm sorry.
If I had a ring, I'd propose right now.
Did you guys see this thing that happened, like, last week where the social media, like, star posted an Instagram of his wife and was like, I love my wife
yes.
and
yes.
curvy body.
Yes.
Everything Brian said just suddenly reminded me of that.
Like, the water is wet.
Exactly.
If you look back through that guy's, like, Instagram, there are so many pictures of her where he's like, everywhere we go, I just only can look at her beautiful doll face and, like, her thick body. And, like, I just love it so much. And I was like, everything Brian says feels like that to me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who doesn't want to be just, like, totally worshipped?
Well, apparently Rachel does.
And he seems consistent in it, because I think in the beginning of the entire season, I thought, oh, this is going to wane. I thought that, you know, at first I'm like, well, he's getting the kind of edit that means he's going to go far, but maybe he can't sustain this amount of flattery.
Yeah.
Because but
apparently,
it's not natural. But
it is his natural state,
yes.
and he will do it forever.
I mean, my question was whether she was going to get really tired of it, but I think that she was – annoyed at first by it. And then she was like, well, it seems like he really means it. So, like, it actually doesn't bother me at all. And I was like, don't you want to talk about other stuff? But, you know,
I keep hoping right. There's so much that gets left on the cutting room floor. I just have to believe that they spoke about things other than her beauty sometimes.
Yes.
I hope.
And in the, like, culture and political climate of this show, I was kind of like, I hope that people were talking about all the things that were happening on some of these dates.
Yeah.
Right? At some point.
I will say Rachel's pretty aware generally of what people are like, I think. But it seems like her final few guys were – I don't know much about Brian, but most of them were pretty, like, socially conscious.
Yes.
Which has been nice to see after the show. So it seems like she at least had an awareness of what they would – like, what they think about stuff. And they get to the evening portion of the date, and they're sort of talking about where her heart is. And he just, like, lays it all out in a way that I felt like was almost a little manipulative. But, like, you have to do what you got to do. In this situation, he's like, I think I'll make you the happiest. And it would be a mistake not to choose me. And I would be so devastated and so heartbroken, I might not recover. And I was like, well, you're putting an awful lot on her right now because – she needs to break up with one of you, and you are just like, well, if you're wondering who could handle it, it's not me.
Would you know what that reminded me of? Which is, I'm still trying to get over that hometown date with his mom.
I'll never be over that hometown date.
Yeah. I can never be over that. And remember, she was like, if anyone were to hurt him.
Oh, my
right?
God.
So I was thinking it was the same sort of.
Yeah, Rachel's like, oh, no, his cousin and mother will likely murder me if I leave him.
But I didn't even think about that.
But it's like, what's worse? Like, taking him away or, like, dumping him?
Yeah.
Do you die either way?
Probably.
Yes, probably. Yeah.
She's only got one move now, and it's straight to Miami. They're going to live in the same building.
Yes.
He also gives her a Spanish-English dictionary with, like, he looks like he, like, glued a cover on it that says Brian and Rachel's Spanish Dictionary.
This is the part
where
they
always – there's, like, a cheat sheet slipped into it with, like, words about their relationship, like husband and leap of faith.
Thoughts. As far as horrible, cheesy gimmicks on this show go, and they almost always give some sort of token at this point, this bothered me significantly less than, like, a really bad scrapbook or a
useful
poem. Yeah. I'm like, at least that's an actual English-Spanish dictionary.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Vanessa scrapbook, right? You're bringing me back to the last one.
Or, like, someone who, like, writes a horrible poem or song, like, ugh.
Or, like, someone once wrote, like, a fairy tale book about their relationship.
Oh, who was that?
I forget.
Was that Jeff and Emily?
Maybe.
I don't know.
A lot of some of them are repeated.
To be fair. There were a few books.
A lot of scrapbooks. But no, I think that's great. And I think she mentions later that she is gonna learn Spanish. And I mean, that's, you know, an important part of joining a family that is bilingual. And I think that it's great that he's, like, emphasized that part of his culture and that he's bringing her into that. I just, like, I felt like he wasn't artistic enough to make a cover for a book. It looked a little rough. I don't know. I was like, just use the original cover. Just be like, I picked this up at the airport. It's a Spanish dictionary. And then it's time for Peter's final chance date, I think they're called officially.
Did you notice that this date started off with, like, ominous, sad music cues?
Oh.
It was, like, right off the bat.
I never noticed, but then, like, Greg will walk through and be like, oh, my God, this music. And I'm like, oh, you're right. Like,
it sounds like the
Titanic is sinking.
Yeah, I usually don't notice, but I did because it was particularly striking. Because usually, like, when they're running up or, like, the beginning of a day, it's sort of neutral or, like, lighthearted. And this was, like, you knew something bad was going to happen.
Yeah.
That's true. And the lighting was darker. They kind of did that sort of lighting where, I mean, maybe it was to light up their faces, but it did feel like, oh. And did you see people on Twitter commenting on how the fantasy suite decor for Peter wasn't, like, as good as
it was
some of
like
the other
ones? It was,
like,
a weirdly tiny room.
It was a little more rustic.
Yes.
I mean, it's definitely telling that, like, I think part of it is the setting. The setting that Brian got was a hot air balloon ride through, like, a sunny sky over the vineyards.
Beautiful.
And Peter got a monastery.
With ominous church bells and a monk that's, like, you should propose.
Honestly, I would prefer the monastery, but I'm a kind of dark, grim person. And it's dark, grim setting. Yeah, it was like a place. She was like, we need to like take everything in a serene setting.
He was wearing a really nice green shirt. Yes. The color was working for him. I'm just going to say.
She was in camo.
Yeah, it was nice. When they were like really cuddling on the ledge at the end of the date, I was like, this is straight out of a catalog shoot. Yes. It was just like, too handsome together to be right, you know, that like they look great together. So something else must be wrong.
I also thought it was strange that a monk would be giving marital advice.
Oh, no, that's totally par for the course in the Catholic Church.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, you're supposed to go to premarital counseling with a priest before you get married, pre-cana. And so the monk sort of takes them upstairs to show them a statue of Our Lady.
Patroness of Rioja.
Beautiful.
And so the monk kind of asks them if they're married, are they going to get married? And she's like, maybe. And he asks Peter what he thinks about being married. And Peter says it's one of the biggest steps in life and it should be between two people who show their love for each other in the ultimate way. I thought this was a weird thing to say to a monk because the whole thing about the Catholic Church is that Christ showed his love in the ultimate way by literally dying on a cross. Marriage isn't quite supposed to be like that. It's, you know, but it is a big deal. And Peter clearly takes it seriously. And the monk is like, well, just, you know, don't be torn apart by things that are not important. Because sometimes couples separate.
And over silly things like the fact that one of them doesn't want to propose.
And foreshadowing.
Listen, it's sinful for people to break up.
The fact that he kept saying, I only want to do this once, I only want to do this once, which again, totally understandable. I also kind of understood why Rachel might read that as him saying, and if I did this with you, I think I might do it again and therefore break up with you. Like, it just.
He
planted a lot of seeds of doubt.
So, she's saying, you know, she felt like when she got to this point, if she put herself out there, whoever else made it to this point would also be putting himself out there. And he's like, you know, I can see this whole life together and the football games and going to the farmer's market and all this stuff. And I'm not afraid of marriage, but he is afraid of having multiple marriages. And I, like, really, really strongly related to that. Like, I've had, like, nightmares about getting divorced. I don't know. Like, it just doesn't happen in my family. And so I think that to me it's like this sort of bogeyman. Like, what if I was the one who got divorced, you know? And I think for Peter there's a little bit of that, like, it's not a casual thing to get married or divorced. And I need to be so sure that we can make this work. And on this show, most of the engagements don't work. So that's got to be a little scary.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, in the world of this show, a proposal is a commitment to work on the relationship towards marriage. It is no guarantee. And everyone who's come off of the show has said, even the ones that stayed together, you essentially start dating after the show. But for the lead, the proposal says, like, I'm committed, and I'm so committed that I'm going to publicly on national TV propose to you. And so that maybe gives more of, like, a guarantee of how much I am in this
post-show. And you're
post-show.
Talking about kind of, like, the church and, you know, my own experiences with that, too. One of the things I kept thinking is I'm like, she just wants you to testify. Like, is what I was thinking about that, too. You know, knowing the reality of how this is, like, she wants a testimony at the rock where you are just going to be, like, based on all the things I've seen over these, like, 3 months,
three months,
that your special essence is so sweet that I will testify to the world and before God that you are worthy. And I think, I mean, I also was thinking, you know, the parallels of it being him from Wisconsin, her history there, Nick from Wisconsin, what went down with Nick. I was also thinking, I think there was some sort of redemption piece there that he wasn't giving her.
Right.
Because she kept talking about the pattern and being afraid of revisiting what she'd done in last relationships. And so I also want to be like, you got to just make her feel like you still got her, that this you're not going to flip the script at some point here.
Right. And I think that she, in the back of her mind, always felt like he might.
Yes.
And that's why I think later on when we see her say, like, it wasn't just the proposal. That's what she's alluding to. Things that are – more intangible that maybe like a, just a vibe that she got that we could that couldn't translate into like an action on camera.
Yeah, I mean, when I think the first huge red flag for me with Peter was on the date where he told her, I think this was before Hometowns, about his ex-girlfriend and how they had this really painful breakup where they were both like crying because he couldn't give her what she wanted. And he, what he was saying to Rachel is, don't worry, I will be able to do that later. But he thought that earlier in the show, he thought he would be at that point by now, and he's not. He thought that with his ex, and he never got there. So you have to wonder, like, if Peter has something that's holding him back from that, that she, if she ignores it, she'll regret. And I really felt for both of them, like, much during this whole conversation.
That's what was so hard about watching this is I kept going back and forth. And I was getting so many texts, and I found myself, like, defending both of them.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I see where they're each coming from. I can see where you would get into both of these two headspaces. And I at the end of the day, I guess I had to come down being like, I'm going to trust that Rachel, who has a good head on her shoulders, like, knows where her lines are. And so if she chose to draw a line here, even if I don't get it, and it wouldn't maybe be the choice I would make because Peter is beautiful and I love unavailable men, that was the best choice for her. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back to break down even more emotional trauma from last night with Jamia Wilson. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Let's dive into a little bit of the night portion of their date where they have this
right
breakup.
To it, and I transcribed so much of it because, oh my God. So he comes in, they hug and stuff, and then she's like, so the rose ceremony. I was talking to you, and I can't really tell, if that got through. And, talk to me about it. And he says, I'm in love with you. That became very clear to me today, but those feelings are so recent. They've been growing to this point all throughout, but I don't feel that I'm ready to ask you to marry me tomorrow. But I don't want to stop being with you.
Literally tomorrow.
And that tomorrow.
That is the part where my heart started to break a little, because that felt so real and understandable. Like, he's like, I'm just getting there. I'm just loving you. Like, it's true. In real life, the minute you start to feel like you're in love with someone, you don't turn around and say, and now we're getting married.
Yeah. Yes. And she says, I get so confused talking to you, Peter. You're talking about, like, vacations, dogs, where we would live, what size bed we would have, fantasizing a future that we could have together that you would want with a wife. But when it comes to reality, you know, you can't make that step. And he says, I want to make those steps, but in time. And she says, I don't want to repeat what I've done in every relationship. And she's like, you know, if you don't propose and I agree to date you, what guarantee do I have? My fear is that, you know, you just don't have that same level of commitment. And he says, I'm sorry that it's taking me this long, but I don't want to act on impulse. And realizing these feelings so recently is not enough to say that I want to spend the rest of my life with you, but I want to try really hard.
He says, I want to try hard, really, really hard.
Yeah. And
but it's too new to give away one thing I hold dear.
Yeah. And yeah. And she says, well, that isn't an opportunity that you have once. You're choosing to just do it once. And he says, well, that is my choice. I get to choose that. And she says, well, she wants someone who wants what I want, who wants that with her. And he basically asks, do you know for a fact that I'm the man that you want to spend the rest of your life with? Like, can you tell me that?
She just sidesteps the question. She says, I can't answer that question. He says, why not? She just repeats, I can't answer that question. Another lawyer move. Just, yeah. I cannot answer that question.
Yeah. And very he says, exacting. So if I can't, you walk away. If I can't propose. And there's just, like, painful silence. Ugh. And she's like, where do we go from here? And he says, we're not breaking up.
I know. That was so
I almost
sad.
Lost it.
I was
– oh, God.
Guys, I was really – I was tearing up.
Like, it's that moment when it's like you know they're breaking up because he doesn't want to say that they're breaking up.
And I feel like I'm sure a lot of us have been in some sort of situation in a relationship where, like, the feelings are there, but there are just – something big you can't compromise on, you can't come to a conclusion on, and you're just sitting there like hoping the other person will bend to you or that you'll figure out some magical solution that doesn't exist to fix the thing.
And I felt like what we see happen is something that often happens in these situations too, which is that she keeps asking and asking, and finally he's like, you know, let's just give tomorrow a chance. Like, maybe this isn't the right time, but you're definitely the right person, and I don't want to lose you. And she's like, once she gets the answer that he'll do it, she's like, I shouldn't have had to ask this many times, and the fact that I did. You know, she kept asking because she wanted that answer, but once she got it, she's like, now it doesn't feel good.
Right, because she also didn't want it insincerely. And she even says, like, I want you to do it because you want to do it. But he doesn't want to do it. So, like, even if he says he will propose, it doesn't matter because she knows already he doesn't want to.
Yes. And that was why I know some people were saying she was being cold during that on Twitter. But I also felt like I totally understood what she was saying. And I want you to be sure.
I didn't feel like she was being cold during this. I felt like she was cold on –
oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, during the interview.
I really understood where they both were. Mm-hmm. You know, they both really wanted something with each other. And they realized that the other person compromising would not make them happy either. And so that meant that they didn't have an option, really. And then he kind of, you know, she's like, I want someone who's sure what he wants. And he's like, I'm not sure tomorrow. And she's like, you can just go have a mediocre life with someone else then.
Ooh, which that was cold.
It was. Like, he was clearly lashing out. He looked really defensive.
They were both very upset in this moment. Yeah, I read that just as a, like, emotional jab that was kind of off the cuff.
When he didn't like Brian.
Yeah.
Right.
That was
he does not like Brian. Exactly.
Yeah. Which is never, like, a great thing to reveal to the other person.
Right. Yes.
Situation doesn't make him look great.
And I think we have, like, a solid end when she says, like, I can't do tomorrow if you just want to be my boyfriend. And he just starts crying and says, then I guess I can do nothing but wish you the very best. And he's just, like, his voice, like, deepens and drops and gets quiet and, like, and then this goodbye was.
Yeah. Oh, and he says, I think that we're both going to regret this decision. And she says, maybe. And he says, no, I am. And if you change your mind, you know where to find me. And he walks her to the elevator and they just don't want to let go of each other. They're, like, both crying really hard. Like, they both definitely had tear hangovers.
And he says, I love you, Rachel. And she says, I love you, too. And then she sort of lingers and says, like, I can't say goodbye.
And he says, take a chance. And she says, it's not going to change your mind. You're just going to feel pressure to do it. And that's when she leaves. And he takes off his sweater and, like, wipes his face with it.
Cause he's just sobbing, like, what, like, whispering, like, what is wrong with me? Oh, my God. This was the most painful exchange.
This is, like,
Clara's her head in her hands right now.
This is like the scene in a rom-com that, like, then there's the big gesture afterwards. And I think what was so hard for everyone is that we're used to seeing that play out, but then that guy gets to have the redemption moment. And instead, it's like the rom-com where there's a big emotional, like, obstacle between two people. And instead of them making it up, she's like, okay, I'm just going to go with this guy then. You know, also, like, it doesn't feel
it ended
right
so
to
abruptly.
Us.
And this is, I think, why Chris Harrison even says, like, it didn't feel like there was really a proper ending.
Chris
it
was
didn't
fucking with us. He was like, maybe you're actually engaged. And it's like, they kept doing that. It's like they don't have to try that hard to make us question what's happening because they've misled people so often in the past. This season, it felt like they barely even tried because they were like, people are just going to get in their heads about it and think that maybe we're messing with them, so we don't even have to. Like, it was so clearly Brian. They showed Brian's, like, watch in the proposal teasers last
week.
Yeah.
It was so obvious.
And Reality Steve, which, you know, I confess, I sometimes will go on that site, you know, had thought it was Peter all the way.
Really?
Yes, before, and then changed it. Yeah. And he changed it and was like, everybody who's a Peter fan is going to be really upset, but it's actually probably going to be Brian because—and he did this a little bit before the Astrid slip-up. But it was like he said something about people were saying that it was Brian, whomever his mysterious sources are.
Right.
And so when I saw that, you know, that was a thing where I'm like, no. And so I had still had held out hope because he had been wrong with this, that I still held out hope that, oh, Peter and Rachel are going to have this issue. And then he's going to swoop in at the end and drive in and be like, stop it.
Yeah.
We are made for each other, and she's going to get swept up in his arms. He's going to propose, and they'll live happily ever after in Bachelor Land.
So I think this is kind of the weird thing about the fact that this show plays into these really satisfying tropes of rom-com, romance novel kind of tropes. And we like to see the arc feel complete, and we like to see it be satisfying. At the same time, in a reality TV situation, there's only so much you can build around what actually went down between these people. And I mean, it's so hard because also these breakup scenes, we've only seen a few like this. I mean, I kept thinking about the Brooks breakup from Desiree's season, and where it also felt like she was totally into Brooks. He kind of took himself out of the game. It was,
and
the,
you know what? I thought that I felt bad for Chris being settled for
right.
it. They're married and have kids
that's,
now.
That's
so
exactly
like,
what I was going to
say.
How wrong was I? Is like that even when it seemed as though, oh, that person's settling, they're making the wrong decision, we don't actually know the full story.
And you have to clarify something for me because maybe my attention to detail was off at this point, like 3 hours in.
You think,
right? And I'm like, I was like trying to multitask with like multiple meal options while this was all happening. But there was that time when Peter said, I tried to reach back out, but I couldn't.
Right.
And I didn't know, was this a DeMario situation where Chris went back to her and said, Peter would like to reach out, and she was like, no, I'm done, or if the Bachelor people said
and
no.
And
this
funny,
has happened before.
It's funny that it happened with him because it's the same thing happened with The Bachelor that we've heard a lot about in relation to Rachel and Peter, which is Nick.
Mm.
Andy chose Josh and she dumped Nick ahead of the final, the proposal day. And then Nick tried to reach back out to her and she didn't want to hear from him. And that's probably exactly what happened this time.
Yeah.
Because we know they've gotten back in, like, that's what happened with Jason Mesnick. He got back in touch with Molly and she was like, sure. And so they talked. It seems like Rachel wanted to leave that in the past. Wait, so this is when we see them all on stage together. Right afterwards, we get the breakdown with
and
Peter.
And that was awful. I think you're totally right, Claire, before, that they did not have space, either of them, to gather their thoughts.
Yeah, it was very – like, right before – like, we just see the breakup scene. We flash backstage. Oh, Peter is, like, crouched on the ground.
Hunched over, like, sobbing.
It was like, so awful. And, like, just, like – we've all been there, you know, like, but we've mostly never had to watch it happen
and
again.
And then, you know, you have to go out in front of the whole world and have them watch you while you
and be real and get closure, but also come off really well and have everyone think that both parties are, like, nice, good people who handled everything well. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, these closure conversations are usually messy. There's usually anger there. And I think but the studio audience and everyone watching wants to see them both be, like, totally gracious, totally happy for each other.
Yeah. And, you know, it is hard when the fans really like someone. He seems very genuinely hurt and in a lot of pain. And to see the lead be kind of dismissive immediately makes people very pissy with the lead. And that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. I was like, he's hurting. You're engaged and happy. Be generous to him. But instead, she wanted to kind of, like, have her moment of, like, this is what you missed out on. And it kind of rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
I think she's still hurting. I mean, I don't want to speak for her, but I had a lot of, like, redemption moments of, like, former ex – ghosts of ex-boyfriends past. And I'm stealing that from a subject line from one of my ex-boyfriends who emailed me a couple of years ago. And so I think when I heard that, because I'm like, oh, even though she's being petty, that clap back. I think I said, like, on Twitter, like, that, you know, the black girl magic angels, like, got its wings, like, every time that she claps back.
She said to him, like – he brings up the mediocre comment. He kind of apologizes for it. He says, I didn't remember I said that. And she's like, I didn't remember you said that either. But clearly she was pissed off about it.
Yeah, she's like, just, you know, so you know, I'm actually living my best life. And he's like, it's just so hard. I'm like, he's down. You don't have to kick him. Like, it's just like really hard to watch.
Clearly not in a position of power in this situation.
She wanted to make sure he was down because I think that's the thing, right? Like, when I think that because he wasn't the person, and I'm like projecting so much here, but I think that she wanted to make sure he was hurting probably the way that she was at that time. Not saying it's right, but that I felt that there was something about her holding him accountable. Like, I mean, that might be the prosecutor in her too, that was there for, like, not going the distance with her. And I think he was pushing back at that because he was saying, look, I told you that I was willing to sacrifice and to do these things. But I very much felt like that from her. And I was actually thinking of a comment once when I was in a similar situation that my mom said to me when I said, okay, why can't I compromise or give this person more time when I know what I want? And it wasn't over a 3-month process or over a Neil Lane ring. But she said, you know, his 1-2 punch never had any follow through. And you're just like a follow through person. And so you feel like yours always has follow through and that's what you need back. And so I kept thinking that, like, I was doing the little 1-2 punch like what happened when I watched it, being like, oh, she's feeling like, you know, he's got the 1-2 punch, but not the follow through. And that she's pushing back because she's frustrated. I mean, I do think that had he been the one who said, I'm ready to marry you, she would have been like, bye, Brian. And I feel like that's why she is.
Like, one thing she said last night that I found really surprising and interesting was that she told her family that Brian was her best friend. And
yeah, I don't remember that part, too.
They didn't show that. I don't think they showed it.
So I don't know what she would have done. And that's partly what made me feel really bad for Peter, is he can never really know what would have happened. But she was really invested. And this was the hardest thing for me to watch in telling him that none of her emotion was really about him. And so she wanted him to be fully committed to her and to propose.
Yeah,
and then
awful.
She wants to come back out and be like, I was just upset because it reminded me of this actual relationship I did care about. And I was like, Rachel, this guy is fucking still in love with you and he's in a lot of pain. And you're just like, I never really felt anything for you. It was all smoke and mirrors.
And I think this isn't.
And she's made a point in the, with other guys of being like, it was real. It was real for us. And for Peter,
and
she was like,
I
it wasn't.
I feel like she does care about
that's
him because she was
that's
angry.
I think it was it.
And she says, you know, she put it like, I'm just frustrated. But I think there was some frustration, anger, whatever, still there that because they hadn't had a real closure conversation, that it was kind of still lingering on both sides. And that tells me that she really cared about him. And that's what we didn't see with Eric. Like, yeah, she cared for him. But I don't think that she got anywhere close with any of these other men.
And her family loved Peter. I mean, that was the thing, too, as I was thinking that, you know, that frustration of being like, oh, you could have completed the picture. Like, this picture would have looked really good and you are not cooperating. I felt like that might have been where a little bit of her angst had come emerged from. I mean, it's been interesting, too, because I saw her kind of diving into Twitter and responding to people's snark.
Oh, really?
This morning.
Yeah. What did she say?
I mean, somebody said something just about how they were disappointed that they didn't get the love story that they wanted out of this. And she was like, oh, you did get a love story. Like, she was going back into mentions and responding and snarking. And so that made me think, too, that I think she's feeling, you know, maybe there's a self-consciousness about this decision.
I think that's the hardest thing, too. And I'm terrible with this personally. My husband is very patient. I'm very self-conscious of my image, not in, like, a branding way, but I'm just, like, always, like, am I coming off, like, badly or dumb or weird? And then when you pick a partner, that person is part of that. And if people judge your partner, it feels so personal.
Yes.
And she must have been watching this whole season unfold, and she hasn't been able to defend him, but she has had to listen to a lot of attacks on what amounts to, like, a part of her.
Right.
And that's really emotional.
And lifting up of someone that she ultimately felt wasn't quite there enough for her. And I wonder also if some of her frustrations at just the way that this season has played out in the editing and the fan reaction sort of also got channeled onto Peter. But I did feel like she certainly was making a point that he shouldn't be the next Bachelor.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, when
you said
that, it was like
so, because she's
revelation.
Like, this show, this process just isn't for you. And she said it like 4 times to the point where he had to agree with her.
I mean, I felt bad. I mean,
I felt a little bit. No, I felt like
if a guy does this to Rachel, and it's happened where a guy's like, I think that this is really how you feel or what you really need. I'm like, back off. She knows how she feels. She really did that to Peter. He was like, here's what I was feeling and here's why it was so hard. And she was like, no, it wasn't. That wasn't it at all. It was this other thing, which is that you can't do this show. You can't do it. You can't do it. And I was like, you don't know that. Like, I don't know. It felt very presumptuous to me in a way that always bothers me.
I think her point – well, I think that I could see how she got there because from her perspective, she's like, well, you – said, like, you just can't get there in this format in this amount of time. And if that's your only issue, then this shouldn't be a thing that works for you at all.
I just feel like that's been the narrative of so many people on the show, including herself. Like, I didn't open up quickly enough. I couldn't do it in time. And then
I deserve a second chance.
Right. Yeah. And she got that second chance. And it feels very petty that she doesn't want Peter to have that.
Yes.
And that's what makes me think
she
still likes
him
to an extent.
I wonder, and you know, it's funny because I'm kind of on that same wavelength of like, I think it was really about like her still feeling the deep connection and being frustrated by that. And, you know, like if I were him, I'd take that as like, oh, she's still sweating me because she still cares. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's really, it's tough because I do think she's in this place right now where she's wanting to celebrate this part of her life.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all learning the news, so she's kind of have to, like, relive the recalibration.
It must be miserable. And I think that was also part of the problem with them not giving her and Peter, you know, a few minutes to watch the rest of it play out. Because then, you know, when you go back and relive it, but, like, he's gotten a chance to see her be happy with Brian.
Yeah.
Even for a few minutes. And she's gotten a chance to see the whole thing play out and hear people clapping for, you know, her love story. Like, this was like, no, you need to react immediately and you need to, like, feel all of those things again.
It's like the wound was ripped open and instead of stitching it up before they, like, I'm not good at Matador.
You get it.
Like, they were, like, immediately just, like, here, pour some salt water in it. You know? It's like...
Oh, my gosh. Chris loves to do that.
Yes. I know. And he kept being like, so do you still love Rachel? Also say goodbye to her. Probably forever. And I was like, Jesus.
In front of everyone. Alive.
Can we talk like, for a minute about how he casually mentioned that he had to walk past her lashes for 2 days?
Yes! I was really trying to figure that out.
He was saying, like... Because she said she cried her fake lashes off.
Right.
And then Peter mentioned he had the last couple days that he was, I guess, still in Rioja before they flew him home, no one would clean them up off the floor, and he refused to, so he walked past her lashes every day.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever read Jennifer Posner's book, Reality Bites Back?
No.
I've seen snippets, but I have not read it all the way through.
Oh my gosh, you have to read it. It's so good. And it talks about the Bachelor franchise, but like all the tactics they use to kind of dig it in. And so the thing I heard about that with the eyelashes, I'm like, I'm sure this is probably what it is, just like plying folks with booze.
No, he was like, please clean those up. It's very emotional for me. And they were like, just because you said that, we are never cleaning
them. Yeah, they were like, I think you need to think of and reflect upon the mistakes that you've made a little bit more.
Exactly.
It was just so...
It was sad. And then like he... made the, you know, I think tactical live TV mistake of kind of being like, I feel attacked.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And saying Which that to I, a black I, woman, I was like, oh, not in the moment right now. Yeah. Your mentions are about to get.
And again,
I would have felt so attacked.
Well, that's again where I was like, I get where she's coming from and she's frustrated. And I see why he did feel attacked because she was kind of going after him.
And I knew. I was kind of like, oh, he has no idea what he hath done to his mentions in this moment. But, yeah, I mean, I felt like the thing that was hard for me is – and one thing I do think was good about his portrayal here is, like, that there was a level of, like, tackling masculinity in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That I don't know that the show did this on purpose with how they were showing this, because, you know, there's like a lot of like toxic masculinity in some ways, but that like that there was a sort of like tenderness that was there, or the tenderness between him and Dean, which is like one of the real love stories that came out of this.
Yes. Yeah.
And true so love. Seeing him be vulnerable in public and that kind of thing, I thought was really powerful, especially because he wasn't someone who had been cast in that role, that he wasn't playing an archetype of someone who is the vulnerable guy or the one who, you know, that he really is showing that he's visibly hurting. I mean, even saw that People magazine cover where they have a little Peter head on the bottom of it saying that Peter is devastated, like, on
Poor
the bottom
Peter.
Of it.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, wow, you know, that this is really interesting that in the past we've seen women more put in this place of, oh, they're devastated, oh, they're super sad.
Yeah.
But we're seeing this from him.
I almost feel like that's a reason that we almost never see the reverse dynamic of what happened. Like, when we saw this so much with Andy and Nick, where he came out and was like, I've missed you, I'm hurt, it's good to see you, but it's also hard. And she was like, you can basically fuck off right now. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of lashed out, and that became a really negative narrative for him. And the same thing kind of happened with Peter, although he didn't lash out as badly. But he came out very vulnerable and opened up to her. And she was like, go away. Like, I don't even want to look at you.
Like,
and that's
the two lawyers.
But you never see that with the Bachelors. When their second place person comes out and she's like still emotional and hurt, we would be so unforgiving if the Bachelor was like, whatever, it was never real, and I don't even really want to be here with you right now for one more second. Like, we expect men to be sensitive to women being hurt and in pain and heartbroken. And when men are like that, then it's sort of like, that's pathetic. Don't bother us with your feelings. And I think that colors how we see these interactions. And I felt that way going with Nick. And, like, it was hard to see that again because I like Rachel so much. And I was like, I don't want to feel, like, annoyed at you.
Yeah, I agree. It read as a defense mechanism where she was like, I need to draw lines to protect myself.
Yeah.
And so I am done. Right, and my relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I'm done with this. And I can't, I'm not allowing myself, I'm only allowing myself to access this frustration. I'm not going to, like, dive much deeper.
And let's be real, because you're now setting off some synapses in my head about what, when you said protecting the relationship. I mean, Brian's the winner by default at this point.
you know, like there's, I mean, so, and I don't know how that was communicated to him at the end or however, but protecting the relationship in terms of also performing for him that, you know, genuine, I'm saying it's genuine too, but to say, yes, like I have chosen you, because there is a narrative out there now where people are saying, well, you chose Brian because the guy that you really wanted wasn't ready for proposal. Yeah.
I think that she thought that she was showing that she really chose Brian, and the same thing with Andy and Josh. But instead, it created the opposite effect because it made her seem too emotionally bound up in it, as we've been discussing. Yeah. And I felt, you know, I felt for her in those, you know, like I tweeted about this a little last night. I've been in one major relationship aside from the one that I'm in now. And it was such a long, slow process because I never wanted to turn on someone that I loved. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to be like, well, now I don't care about how you feel. I never wanted to be like, what we had was bad. It was nothing. I was always very defensive of my relationship, even years later. And eventually I got to a place where I could be in another relationship. But it would have been faster maybe if I'd been like, I can't talk to you. I don't feel positively toward you anymore. And she has a very short timeline. She's got to be like ready to be engaged to someone else. So she's got to do that. Oh, God. And this is what happened on the show. We got so caught up in Peter. And then it's like time for a proposal.
She still has to be proposed to.
And it was no one's excited for it.
A lot of emotional whiplash. We get a not a very extended Neil Lane interlude.
Yeah. We know Rachel wanted a pear-shaped diamond, and he picked out a relatively tasteful pear-shaped ring. Yeah.
People always get mad at me when I say that I don't like pear-shaped rings. I'm sorry, guys. It's just a personal preference. But I do agree that as far as Neil Lane rings go, this one was, like, nice and classic and tasteful. And I thought it,
you
know,
made me think about what kind
good.
Of ring he would have picked if he didn't have to pick a Neil Lane ring. Yes. I was like, this is a guy with, like, better
He's
taste.
He's, like, good taste. Yeah.
It was a teardrop shape. I mean, I was thinking that.
Oh, yeah, it was a thicker than an actual.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just one line of halo.
Yeah.
And just a single
no,
line on
like,
the band.
Weird Very metal, classy. You know, adornments. And,
yeah.
Yeah. So it was great.
I actually kind of like, I was like, if I were the Bachelorette, I would be okay with that ring, personally. For me, that's like a huge thing to say. And so then he gets out of the limo and walks up to her. It's very windy on top of this castle in Spain. It was so loud.
I could not get over the wind. I couldn't even pay attention to what he was saying because it was so windy.
Okay, I could because it was insane, and I wrote it down.
Chemistry
bomb. He says, my first step out of the limo, I knew I was in for the ride of my life.
Wow.
Not an auspicious beginning. When we first kissed, it was literally like a chemistry bomb had just exploded.
No.
I knew in my heart we could be something special. You are everything I could ever want in a woman, a wife, the mother of my children. I am completely head over heels, totally, absolutely in love with you. I just hope you feel the same. And she then says, my heart has never been more confused than it has been this week. Also auspicious. I have always been drawn to the excitement of gambling my feelings on the complicated relationships. That's why when I met you, it just seemed too perfect, and I was trying to find cracks in what seemed like the perfect foundation. I really had to do some soul-searching to find the courage to challenge myself, but this love has been so mature. It's tested me in ways that I couldn't have even imagined, and I always said I would know that the person I'm going to be with is someone I could never picture myself without. So right here in this moment, standing with you, I see my forever, and I see my future. I just want to tell you that I love you, and I'm in love with you. And he says, I'm the best version of myself when I'm with you. You are so easy and effortless to love, and I just want to love you for the rest of my life. And that's when he kneels, and she's like, I can't. Oh, my God.
And she was so excited.
I actually enjoyed that part where they were just, like, sort of kissing, and he's starting to lean, and she's, like, laughing and squealing. Like, that was really cute.
And he says, Rachel Lynn Lindsay, will you be my reina forever? Which means queen.
Aww.
So sweet.
That's cute.
And she says yes, and she gives him the final rose, and he says, 1,000% I will take this rose. And then he, like, we cut back. They're, like, celebrating and, like, squealing, like, we're engaged, like, to the hilltops, et cetera. Then he comes on stage to join Rachel, who has not been wearing her ring, to be clear. So the first thing he does is he kneels down and says, Rachel, I loved you when I proposed to you on top of that mountain in Spain. I love you more every day, et cetera, et cetera. I never want you to take this ring off again. I have some news for him about regular cleanings. And then he says, Rachel Lindsay, will you remarry me? And she's
they were
like,
never
yes.
married.
Exactly.
In the first place. But I'll forgive him that.
I felt so hard for them in this moment because the studio was silent.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
I know.
Hard to watch.
I feel like they were trying to force everyone to cheer, but like, you have to imagine there was only maybe, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
At most between.
This was
these
a huge miscalculation. Like we saw Peter and Rachel break up so recently because of this interstitial cut. Like, instead of there being a whole after the final rose, like a whole proposal and then a whole after the
right,
final rose
we would have
leading
seen
up to
Eric
this.
Come out and then Peter. Like, yes. There would have yes. been space between more space. And we yeah. needed that. And clearly the studio audience needed that.
Very
still
much.
Recovering.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Brian and Rachel, it's hard. They've seen so much criticism of him. A lot of it from us. I'm going to own that.
Yeah, we're
and,
sorry.
And so they're clearly, like, they have a list of things they, like, want to address. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, my mom loves her. She's just told
yeah, that
Rachel that she's so excited to be
and
in the family.
Like, she did. She really did. She yes. really, really did do that.
Yeah, it's like, guys, we are very worried about his mom. But also, you're trying too hard. I know it's a fine line to walk. And then he's, like, talking about why he loves her. He's like, she's the best combination in a woman. The sass, the charm, the attorney in her actually turns me on. And I was like, can't you just say something that I don't hate?
Yes.
Like, please. I want to be happy for you guys. And it just sounds like you're talking about, like, a doll that you picked out with,
well,
like, all the features.
At least they apparently did discuss options of places to live.
Yeah,
they might move to LA.
What a
like
surprise.
Everyone
yes.
else.
I know. Didn't it sound like Vanessa and Nick were moving? Did they move there too, or were they planning on it?
I think they did
They're
move there,
LA.
But they travel a lot. Like back
yeah,
to
no,
see
they are
and
based
stuff.
In LA, but she goes back to Montreal
because she
frequently.
Wanted to stay in Montreal while she was
yeah.
on the show.
Yeah,
yeah.
But no, they're still together, and they've been living in LA, and she wow. goes back to do her new foundation
wow.
for special education in Montreal. But yeah I guess Brian and Rachel might join the little bachelorette family crew in LA yeah. or in Dallas or Miami. But I almost think it would be wise
to pick a new location.
To pick a new location, given that, like, I feel like his mom would be less offended than
yeah.
if he
yes.
just moved to her family.
Also, like, if your family has so few boundaries, you don't want them to be able to pop in whenever.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, LA seems like a healthy distance
yes.
from
yes.
Miami.
Yes.
And Dallas. It's yeah. pretty far, but her family seems a little bit less. And she has, like, nieces or nephews, I guess. I don't know if she has any nieces.
I think
she has, like, three or four nephews.
Yes.
I haven't been stalking her hard enough. But, yeah, so.
Did Constance have her baby yet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Aww. And her brother also has, who we didn't meet.
She's a brother?
I know, right?
Wow. Right, her dad and her brother.
Yeah.
Very mysterious.
I know. Her brother's also a federal judge.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, I'm not. I have no idea what he does. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't be surprised,
No, seriously. Yeah, so they talk a little bit about the plans they made. And I think a lot of people were sort of like, well, she already had all those conversations with Peter on the show, and now it seems like she's earlier on in those conversations with Brian. But, I mean, actually making that decision is a big step. They're both pretty settled where they are.
And now begins the time when they actually get to play this relationship out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just how it works.
Yeah. We're very happy that Rachel is clearly yeah. very happy. She's very glowing. I think it's always hard, you know, when – I mean, most of us don't experience this, that you have your happy ending and such a very public, painful breakup right mm-hmm. before it.
And then everyone in the country weighs in on
– Yeah.
And in other countries.
And it would make sense for her to still be processing to some extent, but she seems very happy and – They seemed very
We wish her the best.
Love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any reflections on this season as a whole? How do we feel about it?
You know, I really like her. I mean, I think that was the thing that she's one of the bachelorettes I've been most invested in for obvious reasons, but also her personality. I really thought she was a standout during Nick's season as well. And so I like to see the multiple layers of her personality, the way she thinks about the world, you know, when she was kind of clapping back at Lee, all those things. So I was thinking, oh, you know, I liked seeing a bachelorette with more dimension.
Yes.
And that was really important to me from a feminist perspective. But also as a Black woman, I thought that representation was important too, to kind of show that we aren't monolithic and that you can experience your Black womanness in different ways. And I like that about Rachel and the public being able to be exposed to her family. It felt kind of like the Cosby Show used to be for me as a child.
Before,
was reflective more of like how I grew up and needing more of those sorts of portrayals. Although, you know, I definitely was not going to vineyards in Spain on a regular basis. You know what I mean?
But, who among us?
Exactly. That I felt that she really held her own in a way that was very dignified and strong and empowered and self-possessed throughout, and I respect it. Although I did want Peter to be,
like we can respectfully, you know, not see our own preferences in her decision, but still be on board with her because she seems wonderful.
It's interesting. Like Rachel is, I think, has the best taste of like any lead I've ever seen. I think actually Nick comes the closest because I loved his final three people, but she consistently winnowed it down to like really great people. She gave people a chance for great reasons, and then she let them go for reasons that were very thought through. And you know, I wish that things had worked out with Peter, but I think she made the decision that was right for her as, you know, someone who, you know, I've been in the Peter relationship and I've been in the Brian relationship. I don't want to compare Greg to Brian, but like that attitude is much better to have in a lifelong relationship of like, I'm all in and I don't need to really pick apart our relationship. I just am going to buy into it. I think that she was right to choose that in the end, as hard as that is to say for me.
I agree. I agree with everything you guys said. And I also have a real appreciation for the cast of men that, minus Lee, they put out there this season. I think the friendships between these men, and we've spoken about this before, but the like lack of fragile masculinity, I think, was really refreshing. And I hope that ABC kind of takes a cue from this and allows, you know, a greater variety of men and, you know, men with really interesting jobs and like more Fulbright scholars would
no
be appreciated.
Weapons ever. No weapons.
Well, they can make it one episode.
I mean, if that's got to be the villain, then fine. But jumping off of that, who do you guys think is in the front running for the next Bachelor?
Last night left me very confused because going in, I was like 100% it's going to be Peter. But then Rachel's – the sort of narrative, I think they'd have to like do some narrative work to overcome that, which they could.
Definitely.
They definitely could, especially because there's some distance. They don't announce it till, you know, we're almost done with Paradise. So I think the people I could see it being would be – I'd say Eric and Peter are probably the top two. And then depending how Dean does on Paradise, I could actually see them – maybe going back to him and seeing if he's interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I mean, one of the things makes me wonder if Peter could actually carry a lead. That, I mean, that's the thing, just in terms of his reserve, which is a part of his MO, that I wonder, you know, that if he really would want to do this when you can see that he kind of really was questioning the process, his annoyance with some of the other people like Brian came from that, and that he's, you know, was really kind of staunched in a sort of realness that he wasn't kind of giving into the fairy tale of the show aspires to. I also just think they should bring back Blake.
Blake K.
I'm a Blake K enthusiast from the beginning. He was cut all too soon.
I'm kind of sad that they didn't try to put him on Paradise.
I mean, the thing that happened with Blake is that he had a family emergency and he had to leave.
Yeah.
And I think they probably were just like, just stay through the rose ceremony and she'll send you home and you can go. But
his grandfather was sick, so he went to Hawaii.
It's hard because it's hard to see a natural launching pad for his Bachelor career from that.
Unless they had thrown him in as like a random on Paradise.
He would be amazing because, I mean, even I was invested. I saw so many other people were like, Blake K, why is he going? Because I didn't know about the family thing. So I was thinking, he has a fan base without having done anything.
I mean,
that includes me.
But it could be like a milkshake doc situation.
Yes.
Which, you know, I'm always – I try to be careful because in the past I've gotten really excited about guys that I thought were really cute and that didn't make it far. And then you get
like
into
Juan
their
Pablo.
Social media. And then,
yes.
Or that. Yeah. So speaking also of – other Bachelor franchises. We got a little sneak peek of Paradise that people really wanted to hear our thoughts on, and I almost forgot to bring it up, and we have to talk about it.
I'd say maybe the only maybe feminism fail that I really saw last night.
Definitely the worst one.
Was this promo. Yes.
Oh, yeah. This promo was one hot mess.
Definitely the worst one. Like, it's just more evidence that ABC does not know how to delicately handle the whole incident that occurred between DeMario and Corinne and the producers. They just like the whole thing was a mess. I almost wish they had just sidestepped that part of it if they were going to make the promo kind of upbeat and frothy.
Like, I can't say what the best way to do it was, but I don't think they should have combined them. I feel like if they were going to talk about the sexual assault allegations, which is really what happened, then they needed to address it in a more serious,
somber
tone that was like, this season things got really real and it was tough for a lot of people, and we want to, share this because blah, blah, blah. The world is full of complicated situations, and this is what happened. And instead they were like, whoa, so scandalous. They got in the
drama pool,
and then we shut it down, and then now we're back. And it's like
– and then it's Jasmine being like, I'll give you good TV, ABC.
Yes.
Which I'm like, yes. I was like, I trust you will, Jasmine.
Oh,
but
yes.
The two parts just felt so gross together.
Yeah.
Because these are not the same thing. Like,
At all.
Yeah. It was just – and it was sad, too, because I was like, and don't show me clips of Dean, like, going against any of my Dean appreciation and love and exalting right now. Like, don't show me potential bad guy Dean clips.
Don't show me Dean going for the twins.
Yes!
I don't think he's going to go for the twins.
Better. No. I will lose my shit.
I don't think so. The fact that that's the only small clip we've seen of them and there's been almost no press around them going tells me that they're going to be one of those, like, blips.
Yeah, but it does seem like things do not go well with Christina in the end.
He definitely posted on Instagram a sort of thing, basically, like, warning people, like, I messed some things up.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Another thing that we see is Raven and Dominique kissing.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
I'm like, I don't think that we have any past reason to believe that Raven, who we saw a lot more of than Dominique, is interested in women. So I'm like a little worried about how that's going to actually play out.
I don't think that this was a dating situation.
Like, that
I think
would be
it was
awesome,
a performative.
But it looked sort of performative.
Yeah.
And like, I'm nervous. If it happens and they are genuinely into each other, I will be so pleased. But, like, it seemed more like they were like, look, some girls are going to kiss.
Yeah, I hope it wasn't performative or anything, like, for the male gaze, so to speak, sort of thing. But I do have to say Raven is one of my – the Raven-Rachel friendship is one of my favorite things.
I know. Raven really has surpassed all of my very initial judgmental expectations of her from last season. I mean, she really grew on me throughout Nick's season, and now seeing just, like, her social media presence, and she seems like a really, like, good, fierce friend to a lot of the other people in the Bachelor family. And it looks like – it also looks like this cast from per stalking them all on Instagram seems to have become, like, incredibly, incredibly close throughout this whole experience.
And Rachel's friends with Jasmine, too, right?
Yeah. Jasmine, she's friends with a lot of the girls
Astrid,
from the season.
Christina, Alexis. Like, and they're all very, very close. Danielle L, too, I think.
Yeah. They actually – a bunch of them went to Punta Cana to celebrate Rachel's engagement, and then she, like, couldn't make it. So there are all these pictures of them, like – celebrating her, engagement to Brian.
She was supposed to go. I didn't really. Yeah, it was
That's
a bunch
so
of
funny.
The girls plus Jack Stone, Iggy, and Adam.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
and I'm like, Iggy just reminds me of Diggy. That would be a great Bachelor too, but I don't think he will.
But Diggy is going to be on Paradise.
I
so
love.
He's going to be great.
Maybe he'll build his profile.
And
it seems like Jack Stone builds something.
Yeah.
Little black book.
Well, all
maybe.
Of these girls seem to, like, be very good friends with him. And also Matt, who I, like,
I mean, they both
I'm hopeful
seem
for
great.
Matt. Yeah, like, they seem like good.
And I like Adam.
Good guys.
All right. Nick is giving us the signal because
we have gone way over as per usual.
He usually doesn't even bother giving us the signal anymore. All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Can't believe this season is finally over, but it was great to have you here to really wrap it all up with us. And we hope you'll come back again in the future.
I'd love to.
And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail Scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
And now for our final feminism fails of this season.
Yeah, there are going to be more feminism fails. but this particular episode, emotions were running high and we had a Bachelor in Paradise promo. So, yeah, there were some feminism fails. First, Peter says that Rachel's life without him will be mediocre. He was definitely hurt and lashing out, but also kind of implied that she needed the right man to give her a good life, and that was him, and he knew it was best for her. And I'm not a fan of that. I'm just going to give that a 2 because he was sad.
And then Brian keeps saying he wants to show Rachel off and sort of presenting her as like a weird doll or trophy. Again, we think that his emotions towards her seem pretty genuine. And that's maybe just the way that he talks. We're going to give that one a 3.
And now let's talk about that Bachelor in Paradise promo, which was just a mess. I'm not even going to call it a hot mess. First, there's this kiss between Raven and Dominique that seems like it might be some queer baiting. It's called out to me on Twitter by @Maslowick. And I'm going to give that a 4, although I will change that rating if it turns out that they date on the show and are into each other.
And then, of course, as we spoke about before briefly, the show uses the really contentious and upsetting sexual assault allegations and investigation as a hook for drama in the trailer. We're going to give that a 5 because ABC, you should know better by now. Just do better.
Yeah, we thought this whole thing was an educating moment for you, and it seems like it was the opposite.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Jamia Wilson, and of course, our producer, Nick Offenberg.
Now's a great time to find Here to Make Friends on Apple Podcasts, subscribe and give us a rating as a little celebration for the finale. We're also on Facebook. Please like us there. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm @ClaireEFallon.
And I'm @EmmaLadyRose. Or you can always send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We will actually be back later this week with a bonus interview with Eric Bigger. And we'll be back next week for Bachelor in Paradise. Chances are we will be coming at you on Wednesdays because, as you know, they often do Monday, Tuesday episodes for Bachelor in Paradise. And we're sorry, we just can't do 2 episodes every week.
As much as we love you, we need to whittle our Bachelor in Paradise recaps down to just once a week. So if there is a Monday, Tuesday lineup for a few weeks, we're going to come at you on Wednesday. If that changes, we'll be back to Tuesday.
But we can't wait to dig into what looks like a really atrocious season with you. And if you choose not to watch with us, let's just say we totally understand.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.